All right. God bless you, folks. You open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and verse 13 was the verse we'll read as we begin our thoughts this morning. The title of the lesson this morning is the conclusion of the whole matter. The conclusion of the whole matter. Those of you that have your notes will be starting on page 143 of the notes. Folks, today will be week 24 that we've taught on Hold Firm to the Foundation, the Defense of the King James Bible. This will be our 24th and final lesson on this subject. We have not even came close to exhausting the subject. We've really, in 24 weeks and the time that we have here in Sunday school, really all we've done is hit the high points of this topic. There's much involved here. And all we've done is basically outline the thoughts and the information that's involved in this matter of the King James Bible. But we're going to finish it up this morning. The conclusion of the whole matter, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says this: "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Folks, it's fitting to use that verse to begin this morning. Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisest man in the world, the Bible says, Solomon, observed all that goes on in life from human wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon looked at all the accomplishments of life. Solomon looked at all the pleasures of life. Solomon looked at all the high positions that life affords. Solomon looked at everything that man can be involved in, man can experience, and man can accomplish in life based on human wisdom now. And after each thing, Solomon pronounced, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God in the book of Ecclesiastes, all is vanity. All is vanity. It's of no good. It's of no use. What man can achieve on his own without God is totally useless. He comes down to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, and the Spirit of God inspired him to write the words that we just read. He said, you know, after examining it all, after looking at all that can be accomplished through man's intellect and man's ability, after seeing all that, he said the conclusion of the whole matter is this: we just need to fear God and keep His commandments. Folks, after looking at all that man has said about this Bible issue, after looking at all that lost man has said about rewriting the foundation for the Word of God, I would submit to you this morning that the conclusion of the whole matter is that we just need to fear God and to keep His commandments. You see, we can fear and reverence God only if He is a high and a holy and a righteous God, and He is. We can keep God's commandments only if we have an accurate and complete copy of the commandments of God, and we do. After 23 weeks of studying this subject, this being our 24th, I conclude by simply asking this question: do we have a perfect Bible that we can hold in our hands? Folks, that's how simple it is. It all boils down to this one little thought, as simple as this is: do I have a Bible that is perfect and complete that I can hold in my hand? Now, folks, listen, I believe in the inspiration of the original autographs, the original manuscripts, the first copy that was given of Genesis and Exodus and Matthew and Mark and Revelation. I believe that the first copy of those that was given by the original writer, I believe they were inspired. Sure. But folks, here's the truth of the matter. I have never had... and I will never have that first copy of all the books of the Bible, and you don't have them and you'll never have them. There's not a man on the face of the earth today that can say, I've got a copy of that original one. I've got the original, I mean the very first one. When Paul wrote down the book of Ephesians under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, I've got that copy. I've got the one that Paul wrote. You don't have it. Nobody does. What am I saying? I'm saying, folks, that even though I believe in the inspiration of the original autographs, that means absolutely nothing. In a practical way, that means absolutely nothing today. What I've got to believe is that God has done exactly what God said He would do, that God took those original manuscripts and then God supernaturally preserved that information and brought it down through the centuries, and that I have a perfect copy of it today that I can hold in my hand. Friend, as I stand before you this morning, before God Almighty in heaven, without any hesitancy at all, with absolutely no doubt in my heart and mind whatsoever, I proclaim to you that I have a perfect copy of the Word of God in English in this King James Bible. I believe that with all of my heart. The conclusion of the whole matter. I believe that God gave us the inspired and perfect Word of God in the King James Bible. I don't struggle or doubt this truth. I desire that you have the same assurance that I have on this subject. I'd like to close my thoughts with seven things about God and the Bible this morning. Seven thoughts about God and the Bible. Now, folks, this morning I'm not interested in human intellect. I'm not interested in textual criticism. I'm not interested in anything that man has to do or has to say about the Word of God. What I'm interested in this morning is the conclusion of the whole matter. What I'm interested in this morning is what Almighty God has to say and do with you and I having the Word of God. I trust that you'll take these things and mix them with faith, and that they'll encourage you to be faithful and to have a foundation that cannot be shaken. On the way to church this morning, my wife and I were talking about some folks that have turned away from the Lord. You know what the problem is, folks? God knows my heart. I am not saying this to be critical at all. The problem is that they just didn't have a good foundation. They just didn't have a good foundation. Folks, I want you to have that. God wants you to have that. God wants you to have the assurance that you have a word from Almighty God in your King James Bible. Number one, God is the truth and always tells the truth. Isn't that good and simple? Folks, you know what? When it's all said and done, the only things that are really important in spiritual matters are simple things that everybody can understand. That's the only thing that matters. The only thing that carries any weight are simple things that everyone can understand. I'm not the least bit concerned anymore with what Dr. Bottlestopper says about anything. I don't care about all of these big words and these big phrases and terms that have been made up by men that are supposedly apply to the Bible and spiritual things. None of those things are important. The only thing that's important are the simple truths of the Word of God, and here's a good one. God is truth, and He always tells the truth. I like that. I like that a lot, as a matter of fact. You see, God promised a pure and a powerful Bible, And God, because God is the truth and God always tells the truth, God did exactly what God said He was going to do. He gave us a Bible and He preserved it from one generation forever. And for English speaking people, it's the King James Bible. Listen to the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Listen to what the Bible says, talking about God. It says, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. You know what, folks? I believe that. I believe that. We don't need to have a theological discussion about it. God is just and right and truth and perfect, and all of His works and all of His word is right. I just simply believe that, and I know that you do too. I believe that about God. You see, the truth of the matter is, it just boils down to, if God is truth and God tells the truth, then we've got to have a perfect, complete Word of God that we can hold in our hand and apply to our lives. And folks, there is no question, absolutely no question, that in English, if the King James Bible is not the perfect Word of God, then there is no perfect Word of God. You see, if you don't choose the King James Bible, here's your other choice. You've got almost 500 other ones you can choose from. Almost 500. They're all different from the King James Bible. But if Almighty God in heaven is the truth, and if Almighty God in heaven always tells the truth, then God has done exactly what God said that He would do. And God has given us a perfect Word of God in the King James Bible. Now, folks, I would that all of you would study this issue and it would strengthen your faith in the Word of God. But you know what I'd rather you do than that? I would rather that you just simply by faith believe God. Just simply by faith believe God. God said, I'm going to give a perfect word to man. I'm going to preserve it for every generation so that man will always have it. And that's exactly what God has done. Number one, God is the truth, and He always tells the truth. Psalm 31 and verse 5, the Bible says here, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Folks, I could go on and on. Psalm 33 and verse 4, Psalm 86 and verse 11, and Psalm 86 and verse 15, and Psalm 108 and verse 4, and John 1:17, and Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Thessalonians 2, and 2 Timothy 2, and James chapter 1, and on we could go, where God is the truth and God always tells the truth. It's as simple as this. Either God is the truth and God tells the truth, or He doesn't. If He does tell the truth, then this is the Word of God, and that's all I need. Folks, I've studied all the evidences, both for and against. I've studied all the evidences, both for and against this King James Bible being the Word of God. It all boils down to this. I simply believe God. I just simply believe God. In that study, there's words that I can't pronounce. Had to take a dictionary and encyclopedia to look some of them up, and because some of them were made up by textual critics, some of them are not even in the dictionary. In the study, many times I had to research just to find out what the term meant that was being used. You know what I came to the conclusion to?
I just came to the conclusion I was just going to fear God, keep His commandments where I can understand any of that stuff or not. Works for me. I'm just real satisfied with it. Number two, the justice of God demands a pure Bible. Isn't that good and simple? You see, folks, I don't want you to be removed from the simplicity that's in Christ. Important spiritual things are all simple. I've told you the story. I'm going to run out of time this morning like I always do, but this is our final lesson. We're finishing up today. I told you the story about when I got saved. I was 19 before I got saved, had no background, no church background. Right after I got saved, I determined, I thought, now nobody taught me this, I don't know why I thought this, I thought that to be a good Christian, you know, a great Christian, I thought there must be some special, big special things that you had to find out and know to be a good Christian. I determined I was going to find those out. I thought to myself, I want to be a good Christian. I want to do what's right, and I want to be right, and I want to live for God. And I'm going to find out what those secrets are, those big special things that it takes to be a Christian, a good Christian. You know what I found out, folks? I found out there's not any big special secrets. The secret is to just do simple, basic Bible things on a consistent and an ongoing basis. Just read your Bible every day. Just pray every day. Just be a regular attender in the house of God in a good Bible-believing church. Just find out what God wants you to do. And just simply do it. Just simply do it, whatever it is. How will you know? The Bible says, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You just give yourself to the God and say, God, this is it. I want to be used of you. And you know what will happen? Boy, it'll be like a light coming on one day finally. One day you'll wake up and you'll realize that God has placed a desire in your heart to do something for Him that just won't go away. And then it'll dawn on you. Wow, that's the will of God for my life. I can do that. You see, the big secret is that there is no big secret. It's just little basic things of the Word of God that you do every day on an ongoing basis, starting now and for the rest of your life. And God will just bless you for it. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You don't have to be a PhD. Oh, if you can use that for God, I'm not against that. You folks know I'm not against education. I'm not one of those guys that stands up and says, bless God, I ain't got me no education. I'm proud of it. I'm not there. I love to study, as a matter of fact. I think it's great fun. But folks, it's not those big intellectual things that are important. It's the simplicity that's in Christ. And you know the simplicity in Christ is? That the justice of God demands a pure Bible. Folks, the Bible tells us in John chapter 12 and verse 48 that God is going to judge man based on the Word of God. I think I probably ought to just read that. John chapter 12 and verse 48, the Bible says this. John 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Now watch. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Folks, God's going to judge man based on the Word of God. Now stay with me. Stay with me. We know that God is a righteous God and a just God. The only way that God could maintain His righteousness and His justness, and the only way that God can be God, is if God has made sure that we have a pure and perfect Word of God, if God is going to judge us based on that Word. Folks, you can rest assured God has done just that. God has given you and I
as English-speaking people, a pure and perfect copy of the Word of God in our King James Bible. It's this pure Bible, this complete and perfect Word of God, that God will use to judge. And the only way God can do that is if this is indeed the Word of God. Number three. God saved me through His inspired Word, the King James Bible. I got saved on February the 24th, 1974. I was under conviction for 4 weeks before I got saved. February the 24th, 1974 was a Sunday night. I was sitting in the church back on this side about two-thirds of the way back. The invitation was given. I came forward. Pastor Gene Cook met me at the front. I took his hand. I said, "Pastor Cook, I'm lost. I need to be saved." He called an old white-haired preacher by the last name of Phillips out of the congregation. He said, "Brother Phillips, I want you to take Steve in the Sunday school room. Show him how to get saved." We went in the Sunday school room. There were folding metal chairs in there. We got down on our knees at those folding metal chairs. He went through the plan of salvation for me. I prayed and asked the Lord to save me. Folks, I've got to tell you a little something about that, though. I went through all the form and everything, and I went to that Sunday school room, and I prayed out loud and asked the Lord to save me. But I want you to know this. I got saved, actually, when I stood up back there in that from that pew and started toward the front. Folks, our God is in the soul-saving business. I believe that the very moment that repentance and faith is present in the heart of man, I believe at that moment salvation comes because God is in the soul-saving business. I followed through publicly just like the Bible teaches that you should. But folks, before God Almighty, I got saved before, and I was so dumb I didn't know then. I couldn't have told you that then. And I came forward and I took the preacher's hand and I said, "Brother Cook, I never been saved. I need to get saved." But folks, I know now I got saved back there. Now where am I going with this? I got saved based on this King James Bible. I believed it was the Word of God then. I believed it was the Word of God. The Spirit of God took it and convicted my heart, showed me that I needed to be saved. Now stay with me. There's a thought I want to make. Here it is. I believe that now I want you to listen to the thought. I know you have it in your notes, but I want to read it for you. I believe that every born-again person will believe the King James Bible to be God's inspired Word if they listen to the indwelling Spirit of God within them and not to the unbelief of man without. Folks, there's not a doubt in my heart and mind that a saved person will believe this King James Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God if they simply listen to the indwelling Spirit within them and not listen to those things that are said by people without. You see, I was just so dumb when I got saved. I just believed the Bible was the Word of God. I didn't know any better at the time. I ought not to tell this. I went away to Bible college. Still didn't know there was a controversy about the Bible. I just thought everybody believed the King James Bible was the Word of God. I got in Bible college to find out that intellectual folks, a lot of them didn't believe that this was the King James Bible was the Word of God. Riled me up something awful. I didn't like it a little bit. I made up my mind then I was going to find out the truth. And I did. And I studied. And I came to the conclusion that what I had believed the whole time was exactly right. That this is the Word of God. Because, folks, I've read the books. I've got them at home on my shelf. I could bring them and stack them up here. And if I stacked them up here, they'd be this tall. I've got the books that the doubters wrote. I've got the books that were written by the critics that form the critical text. And I've read in their writing, and you know what they say? After telling us that the King James Bible is not the Word of God and that we need to listen to them, they write in their writings and they say this to us. They say the truth is, we don't now have the perfect Word of God, and it's unlikely that we ever will. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want anything to do with following that crowd. I'm just not going to follow somebody or listen to somebody, no matter how intellectual they are, if after you get through the thing and study it to death and talk it to death and make all these intellectual terms about it, they end up telling me, well, you know, the truth is, though, we don't have the Word of God, and we're never going to have the Word of God, but you still need to listen to me anyway. I just have an issue with that. I really do. I just have an issue with that. You see, I just believe that a born-again person that's indwelled by the Spirit of God, I just believe if you'll just listen to the Spirit of God within, that you'll believe that this is the Word of God. You'll believe this is the Word of God. You see, the critical text advocates, they don't think God has anything to do with this thing. Did you know that? Most people don't. You've heard it in here in the Sunday school class in these last 24 weeks, I know. The critical text advocates say that if God originally gave the Bible in a pure form, if He did, now remember, some of them don't even believe it was ever God ever gave it in a perfect form. The critical text crowd, though, they say that if God ever gave it in a perfect form, it's since been lost, and God's not on the scene anymore, folks, according to them. According to them, God's not trying to do anything with the Word of God. God doesn't have anything to do with preserving it, and God's not going to do anything with helping us find it when it got lost. Of course, we know it's not lost. Wow. I'd just rather listen to the Spirit of God. You see, folks, here's the thing. Just based on the Spirit of God, when I first got saved, before I studied this subject, I believed that this was the Word of God. After having studied the subject for a long time, I still believe that this is the Word of God. I've satisfied my curiosity. And by the way, I'm one of those guys that I want to know the answer to everything if it's knowable. I mean, if you can know it, I want to know it. After studying it and pursuing the different avenues, I've came full circle to where I always was, and more than ever, I say, praise God, I've got the pure Word of God. Number four, God inspired His Word originally. God then promised to keep that Word pure and to make it available to every generation. He did exactly what He said. I know I've already dealt with that, really, so I don't really need to spend much time on that. Number five, God has demonstrated to us the King James Bible is His inspired Word by His blessings on it for 400 years. No other English Bible can claim sanction from on high. Folks, you realize that From 1611 until 1881, the King James Bible was unchallenged in the English-speaking world. From 1611 to 1881, everyone in the English-speaking world that was even remotely linked to being a born-again believer, believed that the King James Bible was the Word of God. Now, they believed that because the Spirit of God revealed that to them, and they believed that because they could look around and every great work of God that was going on was wrought through the power of the Spirit of God working through the King James Bible. In 1881, The floodgates of hell were opened. In 1881, the English Revised Version hit the market. After 30 years, a group of liberal, ungodly, unsaved men presented to the world a Bible based on human intellect that they claimed was more accurate and better for English-speaking people than the King James Bible. That Bible was based on the critical text, which in the Greek text of the New Testament was wrong in more than 5,000 places. Since 1881, there have been 130 some odd more English versions printed, all of them different than the one that was before it, and all of them different than the King James Bible. But folks, the fact of the matter is this. The only one of those versions that can claim the power of Almighty God is the King James Bible. It's the only one that God has blessed. When I started in 1881 and began to research the different English Bibles that had been printed from 1881 until now, I set a little foundation, some rules for myself to follow. One of the rules I said was, if I can't find a copyright date for it, I'm not going to list it. In your notes, I've given you a listing of those Bibles. I found quite a lot more than what I've got numbered for you. But I'd have refused to list them if they didn't have a copyright date. I felt like that made it an official challenge to the true Word of God if they had a copyright on it that was available. You know what the problem with all those different, that hundred and some odd is? None of them have the blessing of God on them. You've got a list of the name and the copyright date. Folks, you'd be hard-pressed. Many of those on the list that you have in your notes, you would be hard-pressed to be able to find a copy of that to buy today. Some of them just came and went just like that. Some of them only a few hundred at best copies sold. Some of them a few thousand. Some of them tens of thousands, and some of them hundreds of thousands. But all of them lacked one important thing. All of them lacked the blessing of Almighty God on them. And the old King James Bible just kept on trucking the whole time. And God just kept on working through this. And even today, every great working of God that you've ever heard about, every great revival that you can read about, every instance where many souls were saved, and every time a life was supernaturally changed by the Word of God, in every one of those, it's through the King James Bible, because this is a living and a powerful Word of God. Number 6, God shows the purity and holiness of the King James Bible as the Word of God by the fact that Jesus Christ and the Bible are inseparable. When you honor one, you honor the other. I'll not deal with this. I spent all last week on this subject. Number 7. God conceived the Word of God in His heart and mind before the foundation of the world. The Word has always existed, and the Word will always continue to exist. The King James Bible is the English version of this eternal Word. Now, folks, listen. If the Word of God was important enough that God conceived it in His heart and mind before the foundation of the world, if it was important enough to give it to the world through inspiration, and there's no doubt that it was, if it's that important, then God continued to do what He said He would do when God said, "I will preserve it from this generation and forever." I leave you with this thought. I simply desire with all of my heart that you be able to say,
with absolutely no doubt whatsoever that this King James Bible is the Word of God. Folks, it is. It is. If it wasn't, then it's not available. If it's not, all that's left for you and I is to flounder around in the great sea of doubt and wonder if all that we've ever heard is true concerning spiritual things. If all the other versions are right, if it's true that this King James Bible is full of errors, like some would claim, then is heaven real? How about hell? How about Jesus Christ and salvation through the shed blood? Is that right or is that not right? You see, folks, the truth is, if this King James Bible is not the truth, I don't know the answers to any of them. I'm not concerned. I'm not troubled. I haven't lost a minute of sleep about it. This is the Word of God. This is it. I'm just going to believe it. I want you to do the same thing. God bless you. I appreciate so much those that have been in the study. It's been a labor of love for me and the beginning of something that I believe that God is going to want me to pursue in the days ahead in my life. And I trust it has been an encouragement to you. In your notes, at the end of your notes, I've given you some sources if you want to continue the study on your own. I've given you some sources where you can find some good books on Bible defense as written by Bible believers. I didn't bother to give you the websites of the Bible deniers. I know what they are. I know where to find their books too. I just didn't give that to you. I don't want you to waste your time. I don't want you to waste your time. I just want you to read the ones on the folks that love the Word of God. And they've studied the books that all the unbelievers have written. And they're giving you the cream of it and giving you the position, laying out the position so that you can be encouraged in your faith. Folks, God bless you. May the Lord bless us in the days ahead. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Bless this church and these people, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.